It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
This week, Shinnecock Hills Golf Club on Long Island, New York, plays host to the 126th U.S. Open.
And now the stage is clear for Wyndham Clark. Yeah! Who takes down all the stars in Los Angeles to win the United States Open.
This is a U.S. Open week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
It's an amazing golf course because wide fairways. The greens are pretty small. They can tuck the pins away in different little nooks and crannies.
And Brandon Sprague.
You'll love me saying this, but you do have to think about angles and you have to think about approaching these greens.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Just pick it up.
U.S. Open week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour two. We're back finally on 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. 7:01 AM on a Monday morning on June the 15th. A lot to get to. If you missed the first hour, any of the hours, you can always catch it at 1051thefan.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll try to post that up. Haven't gotten any World Cup chatter yet.
I actually watched a bit of the World Cup over the weekend. It ended up higher on the ranking list for me this weekend than the World Series. I did not watch any of the World Series, College World Series.
Oh.
That was out of sight, out of mind. But I did watch a decent chunk of the World Cup. I had the Japan and Netherlands game on yesterday. It was a fun back and forth game.
Yeah.
Watched the U.S. obviously on Friday. It's been entertaining so far.
I would imagine the World Cup pretty happy. Both the NBA and NHL titles ended over the weekend.
Yes, opening weekend, they had a standalone game for
they
USA.
Got a clear runway now for the rest Sakata. Of their run.
Footy time.
Well, we could talk a little bit about that. Some are calling USA's 4-1 win over Paraguay the greatest performance in U.S. men's soccer history. We could talk about that at some point today.
Yeah.
But let's start the second hour because a lot of the first hour was what we did over the weekend. And then, hey, Tommy D. I didn't even get to my segment of, does Tom Dundon winning a Stanley Cup, do we feel more hopeful about him bringing that cupness, that championship-esque
I want
must?
The cup. Bring me the cup.
Bring us the Larry O.
I'll take a cup too, baby.
Because as you noted, now with the Knicks winning the NBA Finals, we have the longest drought of any former champion in the NBA.
We did it, baby.
So the New York Knicks win the NBA title. They win it in five in San Antonio. This was like every other game of the series.
It was the same game
again. It was the same game.
Yes, it was exactly the same game.
Barkley said it at halftime, and I started laughing because I also said it. I'm like, they're only down six. They're going to win the game.
I had takes last week. I thought it was going seven. I thought San Antonio was going to win this weekend. But even I am smart enough to acknowledge when a trend is going some way, I'm going to bet that way. And I have now funded my Spraking the Line football season DraftKings account by Knicks live moneyline bets in this NBA Finals.
Because
I did it
them.
Again on Friday night.
I live bet them when they were down 11 in the second quarter, and I got great odds.
Yes.
And so instead of doing my usual moneyline bet at the start.
Yeah, you just wait because you know they're going to be down at halftime or in the third quarter.
I waited. They yes. were down double digits. I'm live betting it. Boom, getting better odds than I would have gotten the money line. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I did it again.
There's a lot in this game. We got a lot of audio we're going to get to today.
Right.
I'll just start at the top. That is one of the better. That's one of the best performances in NBA history, what Jalen Brunson did. 45 points in a closeout game. He's the first player to do that since Michael Jeffrey Jordan did it.
The Black Cat. As Reggie would call him.
It's actually his nickname.
The Black Cat.
Crazy that I never knew that my whole life. It's MJ, it's Air Jordan.
What about the Caramel Cat? Who can forget the Caramel Cat?
Who can forget about the Caramel Cat? And the Black Cat.
The Black Cat.
But we have not seen a closeout performance.
No.
I mean, that's him. It's Giannis.
Yeah.
It's a closeout. It's the most. Let me correct the record here. It's the most in a closeout road game.
Ah.
Since MJ did it. Because Giannis had the 50 burger, but they did that at home.
Yes.
But just incredibly special stuff. Dude, he was literally their only offense the whole game.
That was it. It was all they had.
He scored 45. They scored 49.
It was a perfect microcosm of the way that the series had really gone for, like, the way I felt like the Knicks basically played the entire time was Brunson didn't do a ton early. They would get off to a slow start, and then you'd be close late in the game. This is kind of who they've been, right? What do they have? One of the best closers in the NBA. And Brunson goes off, and he scores a ton of points in the fourth quarter. That's kind of how they've been built, and that's the way their season ended. They got to the fourth quarter of the last game of their season, and they needed their closer to deliver. On the note of the closeout performance that he had, in terms of the highest share of points scored for a team in an NBA Finals clinching win, the only person with a higher percentage is Michael in 1998, just because they scored less back in the day. His 45
this
was...
This is a 90s throwback game in this
it
one.
It was
one
to
was
a certain
ugly.
Extent. Jordan in that 98 closeout game had 51.7% of their points in the closeout game. Brunson's performance this weekend to close it out was 47.9, slightly edging Giannis in 2021, who had 47.6% of the Bucks' points in that game. And so nearly half of all their scoring came from one player. Every time they needed a big bucket, we knew it was going to happen. He was incredibly efficient. And I hinted at it earlier in the show. And the only disappointment I had from the weekend as a whole was that neither team clinched at home. That's always a little more chaotic and joyful to me. Like, had the Knicks clinched at Madison Square Garden.
The Garden would have been
right?
A
like
scene,
it just,
man.
And
but that was the 29-point comeback. That's what
you
we
had
got
that
from
moment.
It, you know?
I'm not upset about it. And then Vegas, the arena's like, by the time the players are skating around with the cup, the arena's like half empty with some Carolina fans.
Yeah.
Now, I know Knicks fans, you know, filled into San Antonio and all that. But I think one of the other compelling angles of this for me was the storylines of the guy who ended up being the feature player. And I talked about Bussy, the goaltender for Carolina. For Brunson, man, like, after everything in his career, the undersized guy, the second-round pick, the takes about you can't have a small guy win a championship or lead you to a championship, all of that stuff and the narrative that had built up over the years, and here he is in the biggest moment of his career, this little undersized point guard who's not really the best at anything but somehow gets the job done, and everything that he does closing out with a historic performance. It was a ton of fun to watch.
Oh, I mean, the Knicks just winning the title in and itself, no names involved, the
yes,
Knicks winning
historic.
The championship is that right there, right? Then you add all the little wrinkles around it. Cat. Who, you know, started out really good in the series and
he did
got
nothing
in foul
the back
trouble
half,
and he
yeah.
fizzled. And I didn't like the way they officiated him versus Wimby in a lot of spots.
He's just bigger and stronger. It's hard.
I just disagreed with some of the whistles he got, and they put him in foul trouble. But he was largely important for them in the series and the journey along the way.
Yes.
Boy, that championship, that changes the viewpoint of you.
Yes.
Brunson was signed as a free agent from Dallas. And there's enough videos, you can go around and find it all over the internet, of like, man, nice little signing. Not going to be your one. And, oh, if you're expecting this, you're not going to get it from him. And then we mentioned the Becky Hammon one of you're not going to win. And look, historically, she's right.
Yes.
I take Steph Curry out of this. People lump Steph Curry into this. I've been next to Steph Curry. He's legitimately like 6'3 and a half. He is a tall dude.
It's different, too, because he's the greatest shooter in the history of the NBA.
There are people that think Brunson is exactly 6 foot flat.
Yes.
Not 6'2 as he's listed.
He's tiny.
So it's him. It's Isaiah. As like lead number one guys of teams.
Yeah.
That's the list.
That's it.
How
tall is Chris Paul?
Chris Paul's like 6'2", 6'3.
So a little bit bigger, but not.
Chris Paul's a
but he obviously never won. I'm just thinking of like great. We obviously know Dame was one of these guys
for a long
time.
Chris Paul and Dame are about the same height.
Okay.
I can look them. I've stood right next to both of them. I'm looking them basically in the eye.
But when you think about those level of point guards in the NBA over the last 30 years, that's, I mean, there's some really good ones who have not been able to get it done.
Yes.
Who are on the undersized category.
It's a really hard thing to break through on. And I know Blazer fan was doing the debate between him and Brunson. And, you know, if Dame would have got this, and I'm not dismissing the idea of what people are throwing out. The argument is just that Brunson just continues to have the career he's having for the next, like, 4 to 5 years. There's going to be a lot of people that view him higher up all time than Dame.
Without a doubt. I mean, I think there's probably some people who already do it.
No doubt about it.
Because championships is what matters most for some NBA fans.
45 and a closeout for a title for a team of that market, that caliber, that dry spell. It just hits incredibly different. Here is Jalen Brunson. Didn't have a lot to say, but here is a little bit of his back and forth with Lee Salters in the postgame.
Just, you're obviously feeling a lot of emotions. Can you tell me just what you're feeling?
I don't know what I'm, I don't know what I'm feeling. I'm just like, I'm in awe. I don't know. Whenever someone counts us out, we find a way to come back and do something about it.
When the championship was on the line, you took over the game, really. Especially in the fourth quarter, 15 points in the fourth quarter. Just what were you saying to yourself about finishing this tonight?
My confidence comes from my work ethic. Every time I got the ball, all I can think about is all the hours in the summer. For every summer I had since I ever could remember putting the... making this a reality. So, whenever I had the ball, I'm just thinking about just me alone in the gym.
And you got to share, you're getting to share this with your father. Just how special to you is that? We can see it.
That's it, then. We can see it.
Pretty emotional there when, you know, thinking about winning the championship. He hugged his dad right away after he dapped up Mitch Johnson. He is the finals MVP. Now, some people, he's a little debatable in the post-game interview topic. He's won the title. It's a monumental moment in sports history.
Not a very lively post-game, but I get it. What are you supposed to? I mean, well, that's a hard moment to be in.
Dirt wants him to do this.
Time to drop trout and hog out.
That's right.
And not everybody's going to be Kevin Garnett. Let me do the scripted Adidas
thing. Anything's possible!
But let me do it backwards and screw up the promo for Adidas.
Where's my Cleveland? This is for you! Where's that at, man? You're not even talking. She's asking you questions. You just won the championship.
I'm going to tell you something.
Say something, man. You're on TV.
I'm going to say this. I totally get it. I do. Watching him, weirdly, as not a Knick fan, but rooting
the emotions
for,
made you emotional?
It kind of did, yeah.
The
was
emotions
like, I was
led
feeling
to emotions.
What he was sending out, and it was like, this is who I am. I'm not faking this. I didn't script this. He couldn't even talk about winning it with his dad. He got so emotional. He knew he was going to lose it if he started talking.
Can't even have you walk out with Papa John's to midfield. I can't even have you do that. Papa's in the house.
Papa's in the house.
I'm a franchise owner now.
That did not age well for Peyton.
Riding off into the sunset.
But like even that cut, even though it's only like 8 seconds.
No, I'm with you. There's an element
of summers,
it. In
the working all those days. Like, dude, I think if you played any sport ever and you worked hard, whether you were a pro, a college or not, a lot of people put in a lot of time playing sports to be good at it.
God, yeah.
If I ever broke 70, that would be my...
If I gave you 80. Your post-golf round interview, you shot a 77 Friday at Stone Creek, and I put the mic in front of you after. How are you feeling, Sprague?
I'd legitimately be blank for 6 seconds, and I'd be like, do you know how many rounds I put in summer after summer? grinding on these greens.
How many F-bombs, how many stomps, how many club throws.
I think back all the chips that I hit 4 inches in front of me because they just completely duffed into the ground.
Or bladed them 40 yards across the green.
I'd like to thank my wife and my children for all the hours I chose not to spend with them and instead spent $65 to shoot 94s. You know what it was like?
If I'm there when you break 80, we're definitely doing that because that would be a hilarious bit. That
you
needs
know
to
I don't really booze if anymore. I'm getting housed getting if hammered. I ever break 80, dude.
Time to party.
You're going
to
be Ubering
like
home.
Running through Manhattan on Saturday night. It wasn't like I get your the emotions can definitely lead you to be emotional. It wasn't necessarily just a Brunson thing for me. I felt like that was everybody until Mike Brown stepped up. There was just like a melancholy of their interviews in the aftermath. Ernie kept trying to pull like anybody else. Somebody else come up here and give me something.
You didn't
something.
Think
Cat
was good?
I thought didn't Cat come after Brown?
He Cat was last. Like
yeah, he went
I think
at
Ernie
the end.
Forgot about Cat.
And I was at one point like, are we gonna interview Cat? Cat's been here for you know a couple years, pretty big name. He's been around. It just I don't know. That was one take that didn't seem to be the most lively bunch of interviews, which is fine. That's you know that's a very baggy choosy thing. And then Mike Brown came out with a Who Let the Dogs Out and totally redeemed himself.
Did we pull that swag? Did Dirt send that one
I did
to
not
you, Mike
send
Brown?
The, I forgot to send that.
We
to
need
him.
To send it. We need to get to that today.
That should just be a drop in general. I think we just need more dogs out in society. Like, I just think we're a better people. If you ask me,
if we ask
who let the dogs out and you bark back at me, I like Cooley, if you're listening, let's
we're
close
a
our
better society.
Let's close our sales meetings every day with a, who let the dogs out? Who? Everybody wants to do it when you hear it. You know you do.
So I think I can share this story now.
Should we open the show with the Who Lets the Dog Out every day? That's the new bit.
The day our overlord, Ryan Cooley, was announced as the new overlord.
Yes.
It's a big day for him. He's been at Odyssey forever.
He's been grinding.
He had a run here. Yes. He left back to East Coast. He had a great run there. And he's like, you know what? I want to go back west to my roots.
Climbing up the ladder, one rung at a time.
Came back. He finally got... He's the big cheese, man.
He's the big cheese.
He's sitting behind somebody who no longer works at Odyssey, who's in town to announce, hey, he's the new big cheese.
Yeah, we have a new big cheese.
And that guy doesn't go, hey, thanks for being with us today, everybody. It's a big day for Odyssey. We have a longtime worker who's busted his ass to this point. Let's give it up. Instead of just being short and in, hey, it's his time. It's his cheese.
Let's have him have his moment.
He proceeds to go, yeah, you know, I work in Houston, and I live next to scientists. And did you know rocket scientists like tequila? And I didn't know if I need to party with them. And you can see
that was the basis of the story that somehow took 10 minutes to get there.
It was,
and he
yes.
lost the entire room. Everybody's like, "What's he talking about?"
What
and
is
ended
happening?
Up being a rocket scientist drinking tequila.
And then he's like, "In conclusion, rocket scientists." Like tequila.
Like what?
Everybody give it up for Ryan Cooley.
You know what he should have
and
done?
You could just see on Cooley's face, what the hell was that? And that's, yeah, basically, I just could
now,
not believe, of all things,
yeah.
That was the Mike Brown, I think, of coaching celebrations.
Revisionist history. I take you back to that meeting. We find out Ryan Cooley's the big cheese. The corporate bro steps up there and says, guys, you ready? Who let the dogs out? Let me introduce Ryan Cooley. Everybody's clapping. Everybody's feeling great. The vibes are high.
Nope, time out. The equivalent would be you doing that. Nobody barking.
You got to bark back.
And then you do it again.
If anybody asks you to
bark. Do it again. Do it again.
Who let the dogs out? So you can't
do
leave
it again.
Who let the dogs out?
Just keep going until you get it. Mike Brown kept going.
You got to keep barking, baby.
We need to get that audio. That was a great moment. Let's get to the radio calls, the TV calls, the Knicks winning the championship first time in 53 years. Let's run through. This is their regular TV guy who just happens to be the lead national voice, Mike Breen, who I thought did a really good job. Removing himself.
Absolutely, he did.
And then kind of plugging it back in because he should. He's been with the team for a very
long
time.
Well, he's a lifelong. Like, is he from. Like, he's a Knicks fan. He grew up in New
York.
He's
been a Knicks guy forever.
He's connected to it his whole life.
Here's Mike Breen's call on ABC.
4-point lead. Here comes Fox. 5 seconds remaining. Fox to Wemby. Wemby tries a three, puts it up, off the mark. Ananobi the rebound. It's over. It's over. Knick fans, this is not a dream. Your long, long wait has ended. Go ahead and cry after 53 years.
The Knicks are finally NBA champions once again.
Let's hear the radio call. This is Tyler Murray of ESPN 880 Knicks Radio.
4-point lead, 7.5 to go. De'Aaron Fox across midcourt with five. Left wing handoff to Wembanyama with two. Takes a three that he misses too strong. It's happening, Knicks fans. It's happening. It's been 53 years. But for this moment, it was well worth the wait. A playoff run that'll go down in history, and a team that will live forever. Next stop, the Canyon of Heroes. The New York Knicks are NBA champions.
How do we grade the radio call?
That was pretty good.
Because that's the team solid. Call.
That's a team call. I thought Breen's was solid as well. I'm with you. I thought he did a terrific job the entire series. That's so challenging. Like, when you're calling a historic moment, you know it's an audio record that will live forever. Like, you're the radio guy of the Knicks. They've ended a half-century championship drought. Like, that's a call that Knicks fans will remember forever. A lot of pressure. I thought he delivered. I'll give it an 8.7 out of 10. That was good.
That's a pressure-packed situation.
Super pressure-packed.
You do not want to trip over your words.
Say something stupid or not funny or not, you know, what? Like, you got to try and capture a moment that's hard to capture because it hasn't happened in 53 years.
And to the Brunson point, you want to feel authentic. You don't want it to feel too scripted, right?
Very true.
So I thought it was a good call. And then here's Mark Kestisher, ESPN Radio, on the call.
Fox with five, gives it to Wemby. Wemby floats for three. No good with 1 second to go. It's over at long last. For the first time in 53 years, the New York Knicks are the world champs. 53 seasons. A generational drought is over. And Jalen Brunson leads them with 45 points, embracing his assistant coach dad, Rick, in tears. Knicks 94, San Antonio 90. The Knicks are the 2026 NBA champions.
That's a good call by Kestisher.
It's a
really
solid
good.
Call. Right down the line, hit it perfectly, summed up the historic nature of it. A lot of fun on Saturday night.
There's obviously a lot of audio. The city went absolutely nuts. Buses were lit on fire.
Burnt down.
Guys, man. Grown men were crying.
Oh, they done lit the whole bus on fire. Nah, twin.
One of them was a World Cup shuttle bus. They lit a World Cup shuttle bus on fire.
Did you see it the next day? Just still sitting there. Just smoring.
Like, yeah, we'll get to it tomorrow.
There
man.
Was a bus driver that literally stopped driving his route, got off, opened his doors. They were blasting rap music, and he started
dancing. He wanted to get in on the moment.
The bus.
Some of the people driving through, I'm just like, what did you think was going to happen?
Know. What are you doing?
One of the funny things was, though, because they do tours through, like, Manhattan and Times Square and all that. They have these, like, signs, and they're all wearing, like, tourist T-shirts. And there was a tour of, I don't know if they're international people or from around the States, like, following this guy with a placard of a tour of Times Square. just chaos is all around them. So this is New York City. Here's the M&M buildings right over here.
Well, we'll get to some of the fun with audio, and then we'll try to pull the Mike Brown who let the dogs out, and then also we got to talk about some of the game.
Yeah, I mean it's
how did you get to the game?
Should
part
we just
of this?
Cut up things that we did on other games of the series and then replay it for this game because it was literally the same as the rest?
Well,
of the
I got
series.
A lot of questions now. Like, what are the Spurs going to do? How are they going to go about their offseason?
How do you choke that many times? How is it possible?
Where was Wemby in the fourth quarter?
Like, I had confidence in the Spurs winning because I just figured at some point they got to have a good, like, figure it out, right? You're not going to do the same thing again?
I thought it was odd. I thought Mitch Johnson was resting Wemby too much in the fourth. I'm like, why is Luke Kornet playing in the fourth quarter at all?
Maybe he should have sat De'Aaron Fox down for Dylan Harper.
Well,
why is Dylan Harper playing fewer minutes than De'Aaron
Harper
Fox?
Harper was so good in that game.
He was
the
their
end.
Best player in the game.
We'll get to the game. We'll get to the audio. Hour number two rolls on. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My mayor's still my love. Yeah. My bagel's still Jewish. Yeah. The Pope's on our side. Yeah. Fish
and God, I hope that guy made money. I hope he's making money.
Capitalize. Cash in. It's your moment, man. So Nixon good. Five. Somebody made a Nixon Five hat, but the five for the Roman numeral is the Villanova V.
That's great.
Which is just beautiful.
That's why the Pope was on their side.
It's beautiful, man. Who felt worse on Saturday night, Dante DiVincenzo or Jimmy Butler? Because Butler had the Minnesota thing. I can run
it
with the twos and threes.
It has to be Dante. He was a part of the college. Like, Mikhail Bridges, Josh Hart, and Brunson won two titles.
And they were all together on the Knicks until the trade went down.
I know.
And he was sent out of town.
I know.
And they were the Nova Knicks. He was a Nova Knick.
I'm not even sure that's close. Okay. I think it's a very
I didn't know
wide...
for the Butler thing, because Butler has been twice, right? Twice? Lost to Denver and lost to L.A. in the bubble.
Why are we feeling bad for Butler?
Because of his Minnesota time with Cat.
I mean.
Basically clowned. I mean,
they
I've
were never
seen...
close.
I know. I've just never seen another NBA player publicly clown another NBA player that way. And then I know Cat wasn't great in the end of the series, but he ended up winning a championship before him.
The thing that sucks is we never saw it.
No,
I wish somebody would have leaked
a
practice video. Yeah.
Word of mouth story.
And, you know, Cat has acknowledged some of the stuff that happened in that practice. And
yeah. I mean, they were all together in Minnesota for a couple years.
Yeah.
Trying to win a championship.
I think it's got to be White Dante. I think DiVincenzo missing out. I mean, it's kind of nuts to say Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, and Mikhail Bridges winning the college championship in 2016 and then winning the NBA championship
10 years later, all together.
10 years later?
Yeah. I guess you could add Tom Thibodeau to this, too.
Yeah.
The old
Tibbs has got to be the one you feel the most.
I mean, you're in game 7 of the conference finals. You get fired. They bring in a new coach, and you go on to win a championship. Did Steve Kerr win it his first year in Golden State?
Yes, he did.
Year one, so
and
it's
Mark
similar.
Jackson was on the call.
Yeah, that's right. He's
I
on
just
ESPN.
Just rewatched some of the games.
Golly. I mean, he helps build this thing up. Greatest shooters, you know.
I want to ask you this. So let's say in a hypothetical world, somehow this exists.
Okay.
We're the number 18 mid-market, major market, mid-morning major market show.
Yes.
In all of the land.
Yes. Put some respect on our name.
The corporate suits come in,
mm-hmm.
and they sack you.
Ooh, I'm fired. Okay.
And they bring somebody else in. And we jump to number one the very next year as you're sitting in Selwood.
Kill me.
And then to celebrate, we have my new co-host do this.
After every game and before every game, we get our parents in with the kids, and our cheer would be, "Who let the dogs out? Woo, woo, woo. Who let the dogs out? Woo, 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 woo." So that's for all you older kids. They're adults now, right?
I'm with you,
yeah,
buddy.
They are.
You're still in Selwood listening to this celebration
dogs
speech.
Back in the day that were 6 and 7 that are now like 30. A lot came from there. But my players won't do that cheer, though, for some reason.
My current losers.
His approach has been great when he's not barking like he did the other day. I don't know
what that was.
You've been here before. You've been to the finals before. It was many years ago.
Let the dogs out.
But I'm thinking you prefer this outcome a little bit more.
Let the dogs out.
Hey. Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who? We got some dogs on this team.
You're damn right you do, Mike.
New York City is full of dogs, and we came to get it. Who let the dogs out?
Can't stop.
Once you start, it doesn't stop. There's no end to it.
He's the only one barking.
It go on forever. It's the never-ending song. There's no cutoff point. Because once the dogs start barking, they don't stop barking.
I don't remember the year that song came out, but I remember when it came
when
out.
When did that song come out? I'm going to teach Teddy Who Let the Dogs Out. That's my goal today, is to teach him Who Let the Dogs Out.
Hearing like the after a couple weeks.
2000.
The Baha Men in 2000.
The Baha Men.
Yeah.
When it came out, I want to say a month in, it was still on like TRL,
right,
and I remember going, "Who likes this song?
Who listens
much?
To this?"
Evidently, Mike Brown.
They say boom, boom, boom. Once you hear them, they just sometimes they stick with you. Who Let the Dogs Out sticks with us all these years later.
Is that the same song? The boom,
no,
boom,
they're
boom.
Different. I'm just thinking of songs.
Is that also like the Baha Man?
I don't know who did boom, boom. I don't think that one's Baha Man. Who did boom, boom, boom? But when you go back and listen to it, what do you say? Hey-o, hey-o. What do you
when
say?
You said boom, boom, boom. I think you love these songs.
I do. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. I want to let the dogs out. I was yelling it in my living room on Saturday night.
Y'all ready for this?
Oh, you know my affinity for Jock Jams.
Jock Jams.
You know
guy,
my
man.
Affinity, man. Sometimes
true
you need a little pick me up in life, okay? I'm old. I can't do as many drugs anymore. Jock Jams is my pickup.
Oh my God. All right. Let's talk about the game part.
Let's
here.
Do it. It was the same game as the whole series.
We'll play more fun with audio. We got more audio we need to get to. But it was one of those weird, like, it was a good series, but it's done in five. And I
compelling every game was good, but
I cannot believe I'm saying this. Who would have thought, looking back on the playoffs, the only team to be able to beat the Knicks twice was the Atlanta Hawks?
Wild. From round one.
They lost three times.
Two of the first three games of the series. They won two of the first three. They're up 2-1.
It's all time. To put it in perspective, aside from the Knicks winning it, it's debatably the greatest run in playoff history. 16-3
yeah.
With the biggest point differential. They were plus 15.4.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because you have, and this was the storyline when they, you know, the 29-point comeback in game four, which, you know, all but ended the series,
which,
right?
Like, I want to ask you this, not to interrupt, but I'm glad you brought it up. If they win the title in the Garden, there's no doubt like how much more special it feels.
I mean, picture the scene from Game 4, but now it's a championship celebration.
So I was going to say, I don't know if it's any different than what Game 4 provided. Like,
it felt like a win, but it wasn't. Like, you still got to go do it.
They were all there for 40 minutes after the game singing Frank Sinatra. Nobody could leave. And I think if they win the title, it's the same visual.
You're not wrong there.
I think that's why it felt so special.
You're not wrong there. I think when you get a series that is this compelling and competitive that somehow ends in five games, it's one of those unique ones, right? We talked about this going in, that not every great series has to be a seven-game series, and that's an argument you've made, because this certainly was a very compelling NBA Finals. Never did I have a moment where I turned it off or didn't care or wasn't compelled by what was on my screen, even knowing that New York was probably going to win the series because it's a 3-1 lead, but not sure when exactly it's going to happen. There's two sides of this coin for me. On the one hand, that's one of the most dominant runs I've ever seen a team go on after the way they started the first round in their first three games to then just steamroll their way essentially to an NBA championship. And the argument in the second round of the playoffs and in the conference finals was, but it's the Eastern Conference. I mean, you're beating up on teams, but it's Cleveland and James Harden, right? Even people like me were saying that. I can't then flip it when I see them do to a team – something I didn't think that they would do. I thought the Knicks had a shot to win the series. I didn't come in saying there's no chance they can win. Never in a million years did I think the Knicks would win the series in five games. Never in a million years would I do that. So I'm not going to turn around and all of a sudden be like, well, the Spurs are young and they're not ready yet, when that certainly wasn't the opinion when they won Game 7 in Oklahoma City and punched their ticket to win the conference finals and go to an NBA championship. But as much respect and credit as we give New York, and I'm glad that's the focal point and the starting point of this, because it's a massive story and it's one of the biggest championships in our lifetime in sports, considering the drought that they were on.
Yeah.
It's also simultaneously, I don't know how that's not collectively the biggest choke job I've ever seen, because it's not one, 29-point game.
You can't beat the Warriors 3-1 blown lead. That's never happened.
That's fine. You don't want to put it there. That's fine. They blew, like, the Knicks only led for 20% of the series. Of actual game time?
I think it was 69%, the Spurs.
They led for a total of 23.6% of the series, which is by far the lowest number since 1971.
Yeah.
It's one thing to blow one lead. All right, we blew it. You know, oh, my God, how'd you blow that? That's they did it in game one. They did it in game two. They did it in game four. And they did it in game five. And that's why the joke is basically it was the same series. Like, I don't know. I'm having a hard time racking my brain thinking of a collective, and this is coming out of winning Game 7 in OKC against the Thunder. So it's like, I can't compute.
I know. I'm with you there.
They peed down their leg in every big moment of the series, and it went all the way up until the end when they had a 10-point lead with 7 minutes to go, and they took a dump in their pants.
This you're not wrong, but all, and I know this is weird to say considering we watched them win in OKC in Game 7. One, let's have a little hindsight in this sense. OKC was really banged up.
You're not wrong.
Their second best player he played 4 minutes or 8 minutes, whatever it was.
And the guy who's supposed to be the third best player was emasculated
in
the series.
Yeah, and he got he got castrated by Wimby. Like, when that, and they only lost that game seven by X amount of points. And I said this going in. Part of the reason I picked the Knicks, one, I thought they were playing great basketball. Two, I didn't view the West as like this dominant factor over the East the way other people did. And three, I wondered if the youth would catch up with them. And I know that sounded maybe stupid in the moment considering they won Game 7 in the West Finals. The final stage, it just elevates even more. And I think when you, as much as it breaks your brain, the reality is, man, they played like a bunch of young dudes who hadn't been in that level of pressure, whereas the Knicks, even if them as a team hadn't been in the finals, Brunson won a state title. He won a high school state title. He won a college national championship, and he's been in big playoff games before. All the other guys for the Knicks, OG Anunoby won a title with the Raptors.
Mm-hmm. Didn't play a lot, but yeah, he was on that team.
Josh Hart's been in the league for a long time. Cat's been in Western Conference Finals. Like, these guys are a group of guys. They weren't playing Dylan freaking Harper high level minutes and saying, "Please do something for us." As great and as unicorn as Wimby is, Wimby had never been in the playoffs. And I know the West Finals is a big stage, but it to me, it looked like a young team melting down. Castle was terrible in that game.
Oh, he was horrible.
He didn't score until that putback dunk.
Yeah, a putback dunk at the end. He was 0 for 8 or 0 for 7, whatever he was from the floor before.
And as
that.
A basketball diehard, I love hoops. I have no other explanation for what you're saying than to lean into the history of the league, which is no young team just does it right away. They have to experience a setback.
No, you have to do it, yeah.
Sometimes it's second round. Sometimes it's first round. Sometimes it's conference finals. For them, it was the NBA finals. And they got absolutely exposed for being young, being immature, and not having the same chemistry and just kind of experience on their side the way the Knicks did.
Yeah, there's no doubt they had the youth angle of this series. I just, like, somebody added up the mathematical, you know, like, for all fours of the probabilities.
Yeah.
So the Spurs, in every game that they lost in the series, in game one, they had a 91.6 winning percentage when they were up by 13 midway through the third quarter.
Yep.
In game two, they were up by two with a minute left. They had a 72.8% chance to win game two.
Yep.
Game three, or four, excuse me, is obviously the biggest. 20-point lead with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They had a 99.6% chance to win that game. And then finally in game five, they're up 10 with 7:54 to go in the fourth quarter. They have a 95.4% chance. If you add all of those together, the odds of the Knicks winning all four of those games in those moments combined is 237,867 to 1.
Yeah.
Like, it's just it's something that you've...
It was a special run by the Knicks.
It's insane. And I certainly understand the youth angle, and I certainly, like, they ran out of gas, and OKC was banged up. I believe all that. Like, I'm not saying any of it's wrong. It just, to see them do the same thing in every game was mind-blowing to me. It's one thing for a young team to get to the finals. You have, like, Orlando Houston back in the day. You blow the big lead in game one. It's this team that got through Chicago. Oh, dang it. And then you're kind of like a deer in headlights and the rest of the series doesn't go according to plan. You get bounced quickly. It's another thing to see a team do the same thing four different times with the same outcome four different times. It just was wild.
Yeah.
They build a lead. They look great for three quarters. Yeah. And then just nobody could get a bucket in the final 8 minutes of the game.
I feel like Brunson deserves more of the attention and conversation. Like, what are we to do with Jalen Brunson now?
Yeah.
Because the history of the league is going to suggest quite a bit. Whereas the other side is like, also, where was Wemby?
Where were you, buddy? Walking off the floor, that's where he was.
Think about what they were as a team after he did the whole I'm in your head thing.
Yeah, not good there, Bob.
Not great.
We were heading for a 2-2 series tie back to San Antonio.
As soon as you did that, man, and then flipped. He storms off. He doesn't tell anybody congratulations. I thought he kind of got exposed as a little bit of a dirty player.
Yes, he absolutely should have had another flagrant in that game that somehow went uncalled.
Well, I think he would have got suspended for game six if they
would have been
won.
A massive storyline.
So, like, there's a lot more we can get into. I want to get with some fun with audio. We got the reaction from New York. We'll get to that coming up next. Dirt and Sprague 105.1 The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back in. A lot to get to today. Sports World provides.
It's a great little weekend, man.
World Cup fever. I'm going to wear my...
I don't know if I had a fever, but I had a... Maybe a cough and a tickle in the throat.
Oh, you're feeling it.
I'm not catching. I'm not on my couch, can't move, but it's you got a little bit like, is that a little tickle? Is that a little tickle in there?
When do they play Australia again? When's that match?
Friday.
I believe it's this Friday.
Friday.
That's such a long, They play
like once
playoff,
a week,
dude.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Got to let it build up.
We're not going to be here Friday.
No, we will not have a show.
Yeah, maybe Thursday I'll wear a soccer jersey in here.
That is the Seattle game. The Seattle game's on Friday.
That's right. That's
Australia,
right.
USA at Lumen Field. Or excuse me, Seattle Sports Stadium.
Seattle Sports Stadium.
They lost the sponsor?
No, you're not allowed to use it for the World Cup.
Not allowed to use it for FIFA, FIFA.
So they're doing these like New Jersey.
Like the playoff game in Eugene.
Stadium.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not at Oregon.
No, it's a.
It's the Eugene Regional.
It's the Eugene game. What? You mean at Autzen?
Let's get to some more fun with audio. There are elements of this series that we haven't, I think, we haven't talked enough about Wimby's disappearance and then also Brunson, which I want to play some of the audio with that. Let's start with this one. So I play this out of, like, how would we react? I don't know. I don't know if I'd go this route. Our good friend Andrew Claudio, who does producing and co-hosting on the Knicks Film School podcast. It's one of the more popular Knicks podcasts out. Him and his co-host, he is not the one that's louder here, but he is on the video feed.
Filming himself as the horn
They are
blows.
Doing the live watch party
Got
thing.
It.
They're doing the podcast while watching the game with other Knicks fans who want to stream it.
Got it.
I want you to take a listen to his co-host's reaction
okay.
to the Knicks winning their first championship. In 53 years.
Please, OG. Please. Please. Or you press up and immediately take a foul to backcourt. Makes the second.
He made it. He made it. Here comes Fox. Don't foul. Don't foul.
Don't foul.
Champions once again. Okay, was that a dog squeal at the end? Was that
that's it?
Did how quickly did we go from a scream to a cry? How quickly was that?
Maybe 3 seconds.
No tears to tears because you could. There was a quick shift in there.
Why does he sound like Marv being electrocuted in Home Alone 2?
Give me one of those. I mean, if the Blazers won a championship, I'd be the same way.
Would you?
I would. I'd for sure cry. If
you
the Blazers
really
won a championship,
like,
I would bawl like a
like,
baby. If Oregon wins a champ, I'm not going to film myself doing it because I'm not a moron.
Well, you're going to be on all fours. So it's quite
Dude, I'm going to be barking like a dog. Who let the dogs out? I did, and I'm crying on the floor.
Okay.
If Oregon or the Blazers ever win a championship,
I found that.
Yeah, I would definitely cry. I'm not going to make fun of that guy.
I'm not making fun of him.
Yeah,
I just don't
seems
think
like you are. You're not a cry guy. You're not a cry guy. It's okay. You don't have to be a cry guy. But from a cry guy to another cry guy, I will tell him it's okay. Let those tears flow, buddy. Let those tears flow.
You're a big cry guy, so they so is he at Knicks Film School. Here's another scene, New York City winning. Alicia Keys has a pretty famous thing, and here's New York City singing together.
Lit the whole bus on fire. Nah, twin. Nah.
So New York City singing together, lighting buses on fire.
Got a little chaotic there.
Oh, I got a little chaotic, and they went live. Let's go live to our field reporter.
You bleeped this, right? Is this bleeped? Did you bleep it?
Okay. How are the Knicks celebrating?
We did that.
Control live television. Isn't that the way?
Not too bad when we get this under control.
All right. Well, we apologize for that, but you know, there's a lot of people out there.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, it is
what
one of those nights where people
gonna
are
happen?
To,
let us get it under control. You're not going
to
get it under control. It's New York.
Try and find that video if you can online, if you haven't watched it.
She looks appalled,
she
by
looks
the way.
Appalled,
she's never
she's like,
heard the word before.
Steps away from the camera like
what
it's the most offensive.
What world are you living in, sister?
You are in New York City.
Some of the biggest political leaders in the world are using this language now, and now we're offended that a Knicks fan? We are. effing want it. Oh, my gosh.
First one in 53 years. 53 years, and you think people are going to be calm, cool, and collected after winning that championship?
It's just ridiculous.
It's the same as the reaction of people like, why are you driving through Times Square on the night of an, like, you don't deserve it, but you kind of deserve it.
Yeah.
Unless you're there for an emergency, you're just trying to go down and see the, like, what does it look like? What's the commotion like? People are going to jump on your car. That's what it looks like.
Here's another, I don't know what this one is. This one says Knicks fans celebrating after the title. Mm. Let's take a listen.
Like the fans, the energy of the fans. As you can see all season, we was everywhere. We was in every city, every town, representing our New York Knicks.
It's hard to articulate what this team means at this time to this city, but I never thought I would see anything like this.
I'm originally from New York, so to come back and see this kind of spirit is really special.
I think the Nets need to relocate to Kansas City.
Just get out.
They showed the five boroughs watching, and one of them was Brooklyn. I thought, is there a single Net fan that exists that lives in Brooklyn, New York?
No, not a single one.
I don't think they're a real team in New York.
No, I don't either.
I saw one video on Instagram. I couldn't find it on Twitter, so I wasn't able to pull the audio, mainly because I can't remember my login for my Instagram.
That's not good.
But it was a really funny video. It was a guy, and he's like, everything in my life, everything has been about the Knicks. Everything. And he looked all mad. Right. And then they're like, but who do they got now? I got Jalen Brunson. He starts crying. He starts saying Jalen Brunson's name a bunch. I'm going to do a poll question. If the Blazers win the championship,
yeah,
do you think you would cry?
That's our poll. That could be our poll question of the day.
Swag, would you cry if the Blazers won the title?
Ball,
I know,
like
you were like 20 when they won the last
one. I'd probably cry at the parade, too, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think I'd cry if the Blazers won the title.
I mean, he doesn't even watch his team in Game 7 of the World Series, so I don't
that's
know.
That's a very fair. Brandman's next to you. Ask the Brandman if he cried, because he would watch his team win the championship.
Yeah, he's shaking his head.
He's a homegrown Oregonian, been around forever.
Right now, so
I think there's
what?
A difference between two. Like, we've had our baseball teams win championships, but it's not the city and area that we grew up in. You're a Braves fan, and I'm a Giants fan.
I was all alone watching
that. It's just there's a different feeling when it's like that, if the Blazers win a championship, and like just think of what your neighborhood sounds like in that moment.
Yeah, there's probably fireworks going off.
People are coming out like it's New Year's Eve, and they're banging pots and pans and screaming in the streets, and fireworks are going off. And if you live in like a Pearl or a downtown area or an area with a lot of like everybody's out in the like, it just would be such a community feeling that would be totally different than you being in your own little world. Certainly ecstatic that your team won a championship, but you're not there. You're not at the parade. Hey, do I get my kids out of school to go to the parade kind of thing? It's totally different when it's your team in your city that does it.
Yeah, and also to the point of asking Swag if he would cry, like the odds of him probably watching
there's a
college World
tournament
Series
on.
Instead of watching the Blazers clinch the title, I think is a probability of 80%+.
They got a tennis tournament in Queens this weekend we gotta watch.
Yeah, well, it's U.S. Open week. I gotta get
that is true.
I gotta get all my research done for that.
He's watching
I can't watch an elimination US game in
Open,
the finals.
U.S. Open practice rounds are going on, man. What are you talking about? Although, to be fair, the Timbers example still works because usually in a non-World Cup time, they're playing right now.
What?
Now, they are moving the schedule, though, right? Next year, they're going to like
a
fall schedule.
It's a rapid schedule.
Yeah, so we'll have a condensed
so in the
early
future, that will not apply.
He's probably going to watch Timbers T2 team. I got to watch the amateurs play
this
weekend.
Who hit the game-winning three? I'll get to it later. Don't worry about it.
Blazers title. I've already lived through it. I don't need the second one.
Yeah, it's not wrong there.
I'll put the poll question up. Would you cry if the Blazers won the championship? You vote at Dirt and Sprague. A loaded third hour and a fourth hour. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, Portland Sports Leader.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.